Well, good morning. A very warm welcome to you all this morning in the Saviour's name. Just before we start, maybe for the benefit of the stewards, I say I've noticed as I've come in to the building this morning, it is very, very warm. I'm conscious also about the face coverings, and so maybe it may be an idea to keep one or two doors open. I notice some of the windows are open, but if we are able, maybe even for the first part of the service, to keep the doors open, it will help just to ventilate the building, and that may be helpful for us. And then we'll maybe close them once the preaching you to stand, please, and we will seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Let us look to the Lord. Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that within the volume of the book is written messages of Christ. We thank you that Jesus could declare to the Pharisees, search the scriptures, For in them ye think ye have eternal life. They thought they had eternal life by the rules or the laws of Scripture. And yet we know that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But Christ went on to say, they are they, the Scriptures, which testify of me. We thank you, Lord, that what the law could not do for us, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We thank you that he took our sins in his own body to the tree. We thank you that he suffered the just and holy, divine and righteous penalty and punishment for those sins. And we thank you that in receiving the judgment for our sins, he hath provided salvation and redemption, justification and adoption for us through his work. Help us to cherish the Bible. Lord, it's neglected today. It's neglected by the governments and kings and rulers of this world. It's neglected by many church leaders. It's neglected by many in society. But Lord, we know that thy word is the only revelation of God to man. And in it, Lord, we read of thee and thy ways. And though the world will mock it, pour scorn upon it, ridicule its message, whether it's creation, salvation, the coming again of Christ, we thank you, Lord, that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And though one day heaven and earth shall pass away, we rejoice that thy word will never pass away. But every jot and every tittle shall be fulfilled and shall come to pass just as God has said. We declare today our belief in thy word, our acceptance of thy word. We declare today our confidence and faith in thy word. We pray that thou wilt give to us an ear to hear and a heart to understand, to have a knowledge of what the Scriptures teach. For Lord, thy people in a previous generation were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Their enemies triumphed over them. Their enemies overcame them. And they were defeated because they lacked the knowledge of God's word. Lord, give to us knowledge, wisdom, understanding of the Scriptures of truth, and help us to walk in their ways. We thank you for the experience that we've been singing about too in this wonderful psalm. One day we were in the miry clay. We were sinking to destruction. But we thank you that the love of God lifted us, set our feet upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. We were born again of the Spirit, made new creatures in Christ, and we were set upon the rock that is steadfast and sure. Father, thank you for the work of salvation. Thank you for lifting us. Help us to be witnesses and testimonies for Christ in this world. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless every evangelistic and outreach endeavor that we do. We thank you, Lord, that we're being enabled once again to, Lord, engage in forms of evangelism. Thank you that various civil restrictions are being lifted to return to more normality. And we pray, Father, for the leaflet distribution, for the drive-in mission. We pray for the open-air services. We pray, Lord, for the drive-in mission. We thank you for the favorable weather at the start of this month. May it continue right through this month, right to the end of the mission. We pray, Father, that you'll gather the people in, work in hearts, give to thy people an interest and a desire to pray for the mission, to support the mission, to give invitations for the mission, whether it be verbal or the little leaflets. Lord, help us to serve thee. We think of the message last week, a willing people, make us a willing people. Make me a willing servant of God to do the work of God for the cause of God. Lord, bless us in our service and come again, we pray. Revive thy people. Touch our hearts to live for thee and serve thee with zeal and enthusiasm, love and desire. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt touch our hearts to serve thee. And, O God, may our service be blessed. Our service for God has been barren and dry. Barren it shall remain until we're blessed with a fire from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. Bless us this morning. Help us as we conduct this service. May all things be to the praise and the honour and the glory of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll take our Bibles as we take our seats, and we'll turn to Ezra chapter 8 this morning. Our 10th study, our message in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 8. I want to read verse 1. It sets the context of the first part of the chapter, and then we want to move down to verse 15, and we will read to verse 23. So verse 1, and then moving down to verse 15. Ezra chapter 8, verse 1. These are now the chief of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon, in the reign of Artaxerxes, the king. Verses 2 to verse 14 record the tribes and the families who accompanied Ezra back to Jerusalem. Verse 15 it says, "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth from Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then sent I for Eliezer, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Jarib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshullam, chief man, also for Joiarib, and for Elnathan, man of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Iddo, the chief at the place Cassaphiah. And I told them what they should say unto Iddo, and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place Cassaphiah, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Malai, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. And Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him Jeshiah of the sons of Merari, his brethren and their sons, 20. Also of the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims. All of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. Amen. We'll end our reading at the 23rd verse of the 8th chapter, trusting the Lord will bless the public reading of His Word to our hearts. We repeat the words of welcome just now. We're glad to see you in the Lord's house. It is a warm day and we give you a warm welcome. It's lovely to see the good weather, and we trust it may continue. You pray that it will continue to the end of the month for our drive-in mission. So we give you a warm welcome today. Can I say that today is the first Sabbath of a new month, and therefore the retiring offering and the wooden boxes in the hallway are for the missionary council. The general offerings go into the blue bags, and the retiring offering, which is missionary council today, the wooden boxes in the front and back hallway of the church. Please note the change of time tonight. It is, again, being the first Sunday of the month, it is our drive-in service this evening, and that will be at 6:30. The singer or soloist tonight will be Larissa Young, and I will be preaching on one of the most overlooked texts in all of the Bible. So if you're able to join us tonight, come along and join us for the evening drive-in. Can I also say that there is a special time of prayer that has been arranged for after the drive-in. 7:45, we'll aim to get started tonight in the hall of the church, and that is to particularly pray for the drive-in mission. Tomorrow night, we're meeting at 7:15 to give out the invitations to the drive-in mission. We had a very fruitful and prosperous Monday night last week. We got a good number or a good area covered with the invitations, and we'll be meeting again tomorrow night to give out more of those leaflets. And as I said last week, maybe you feel, well, I wouldn't be able to talk to people personally. We're not knocking doors due to the circumstances we're coming out of. We're just simply dropping them through the letterbox. And if you want to contribute tomorrow to your 10,000 daily steps, you'd be very welcome to join us tomorrow night and walk around the homes putting the leaflets through the doors. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. is our midweek service for prayer. And on Wednesday night, I'm hoping to show the video of the work in Kenya. We weren't able to show it a couple of weeks ago. We're going to show that on Wednesday evening and then have our time of prayer. Could I say, and I should have announced before that, on Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. in the town centre, there will be an open-air gospel witness. I will be joining Mr. Colin Maxwell and Mr. Noel Shields. We'll be playing some gospel music, preaching the word, and there will be literature available. If the weather's good, you're welcome to come along. We can't all stand together, but there's plenty of room there. And if you want to come along and sit on some of the seats there and listen, or just stand at a distance, you're welcome to do so. Thursday night at 8 o'clock, there is another special time of prayer for the mission. And the Reverend Thomas Martin will be joining us on Thursday night. We'll be focusing particularly on praying for the mission on Thursday evening again. So please keep that in mind. The Reverend Martin will be with us and bring a short word before the time of prayer. Friday night is the final meeting for the children's meeting for the summer season. We've been glad we've been able to have 6 weeks of children's and youth activities. And Friday night will be the final night before the summer break. Children's meeting at 7 o'clock and the youth fellowship at 8:15. Next Lord's Day, the Sabbath school is 10:30 a.m. and that will be the final Sabbath school for the summer season. Also, 11:15 and 7 p.m. are the morning and evening services. And next Lord's Day, we will be having our Children's Day services. We would ask, invite the parents and the children to come along. We would ask for the children to sit with their parents, and there will be a small program, a very limited program, and then a special children's speaker next Lord's Day morning and evening. Mr. Chris Killam will be speaking in the morning, and Miss Joyce Walsh will be speaking in the evening. The morning it will be the Sunday school children, a few of them taking part, and then in the evening the children's meeting, a few of those children will be taking part. So do you remember that and come along and support the work. And also say that next Lord's Day will be the monthly retiring offering for Let the Bible Speak. And we want to specifically highlight that. There's a very limited number of these little leaflets available. And it tells of a project Let the Bible Speak are trying to raise funds for. It's the Nepal Radio Appeal. They've discovered in Nepal there's a great opposition to the preaching of the gospel. And one of the chief means they use to get the gospel out is by radio. But they're finding opposition to getting the radio broadcasts in Nepal. And they want to fund and start their own radio station out in Nepal. And there's an initial setup cost of £30,000. So we decided, our session and committee decided, we would emphasize this and take a special retiring offering. That will be next Lord's Day. And all the money will go towards the radio appeal of Let the Bible Speak for Nepal. Please keep that in mind. There are a few of those. They are limited, but if you get one, you're welcome to lift one on your way out. Can I announce that there is a need for a bus driver or bus drivers for the regular bus ministry? And if you're able to help with that, if you could see, mention to Craig Johnson, or alternatively Chris Nicholson at some stage. But I know if you're able to help today, I want to mention that see Craig, he's in the hallway. So that's a bus driver for the regular bus ministry is required. And if you can help, please speak to Craig. Just to announce that the Bethany Missionary Fund offering last Lord's Day came to just over £2,200, and we thank you for your very sacrificial giving to that fund. One final announcement, and it's in relation to the Reach Sports Fun Week. They are able to hold a limited version of that this year, and online registration opens tomorrow at 6 p.m. The link will be in the Facebook page. Any questions or queries, speak to Jim Tinsley or any of the Reach leaders. Those are all the announcements, but I do want to give a very special welcome back today to our brother, Mr. Ben Telford. It's good to see Ben and Avril back with us. Ben was in hospital for a wee while and then recovering at home, and it's great to have our brother and sister with us today. It's good to see you again in God's house. Now, before we have the preaching of the word, we'll sing another hymn. 431. Not that that means anything to you. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Old habits are hard to break. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Keep in our seats while we sing. Thank you. Just before we stand to pray, one other announcement. We do need help with stewarding for the drive-in mission. There's a sheet of paper in the hallway. If you don't have the time to fill that in as you're moving on out, mention to either Desi Collins or David McGaw that you'd be willing to help. And any of the men folk that you not have to do every night, we get a rota. And if you're able to help, then please mention to Desi or David about that. Let's just change our positions. We'll stand for prayer before we come to preach God's word this morning. Lord, we do thank thee for the guiding hand of the Lord. Thank you for the little verse in the 107th Psalm. It records the Lord leading the children of Israel, that he led them by the right way. Lord, what a text that is. He led them a trying and testing way. He led them a difficult way. He led them a way that they maybe wouldn't have chosen themselves. But he led them the right way. No, God, we commit our lives to thee, that thou wilt lead us in the right way as we journey to heaven. Be thou still my strength and shield. Feed me till I want no more. Lord, we look forward to the day when we'll sit down in the kingdom of heaven and we'll talk it over in the sweet by and by. Bless the ministry of thy word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ezra chapter 8. While we'll take lessons from the entire section, if we're highlighting a key verse, if we're highlighting a text, it would be verse 21. Ezra, writing these words, says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves." That doesn't mean to physically afflict themselves or harm themselves, but they were going to fast and pray. And I believe it's a reference to the fasting. Afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. If I was to put a title on the message this morning, it would be Concern for the Journey. Ezra chapter 8 records for us the journey of Ezra and the second group of exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem. If you look to almost the end of the chapter, verse 31, it tells us, "Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go on to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us out of the hand of the enemy and of such that lay in wait." By the way, verse 32, "And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days." And this chapter records the journey from the river of Ahava to Jerusalem with Ezra and this second group of Jews. It includes the gathering of the people. If you look at verse 15, "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava." So there was a starting point. There was a place where those who were willing, and we spoke last week about how the challenge went out to those who were willing to make the journey, the Lord's people, the Lord's cause, the Lord's church is made up of volunteers. And those that volunteered, they gathered together. The word went out, gather at the river that runneth to or from Ahava. And that's where they commenced the journey. The people that joined them are named. From verse 2 to verse 14. And you have the various families and the summary of the families who gathered there for the journey. There was not only a gathering of the people, but there was a surveying of the people. Verse 15. "There they abode in tents 3 days, and it says, 'And I viewed the people. So Ezra took stock. He took note of who was there. How many were there? Those that were gifted in one thing or another. He took note of it all. He viewed the people. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. And then it not only includes the gathering of the people and the surveying of the people, but it records the fasting and the praying of the people. Verse 21, our text, the key verse in this section. Then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones. Out of concern for the journey that they were about to undertake, Ezra told the people they would go no further. They would not begin that journey until they fasted and they sought the Lord in prayer for the journey that was before them. Can I remind you that the Christian life is a journey? And I believe it's mirrored here. Just as Ezra and the Jews were leaving Babylon to travel to Jerusalem, the Christian is journeying from the Babylon of this world, this present evil world. We're in the world, though we're not of it. We are journeying from this world to the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And our lives on earth are a journey from this world to the eternal kingdom. And on our journey there, we could say with the hymn writer, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There are many dangers. There are many snares as we journey from here to heaven. And therefore, there is a need for God to guide us through life. There is a need to know the hand of the Lord leading us, guiding us on our journey. And because at times we face concerns, dangers and snares, there are times when we need to stop what we're doing. And that's what Ezra was telling the people. He told them to stop. They would proceed no further until they had a period of prayer and fasting. And there are times in our lives when we have to stop what we're doing and seek the Lord for His leading and His guiding in the way that we are going in our life and in our Christian life and walk for Him. And at times we need to fast as well. This is a critical time. This was a special time. And when there was a major journey and a major set of decisions to take regarding the journey they were making, they fasted and they sought the Lord. And they did so because of Ezra's concern. I want to tell you today that when you have concerns in the journey of life, the answer is to stop what you're doing and seek the Lord. To give a time of special prayer and possibly even to have with that time of prayer a time of fasting. The spiritual lesson, and it's not my purpose to preach on fasting today, but I'll say this in passing. The reason for it is to deprive ourselves of a temporal physical need that we might devote ourselves more fully to a spiritual need. There are times when the child of God needs to seek the Lord earnestly and specifically and definitely in fasting and prayer. from Ezra's concern for this journey. I want you to consider this concern that he had. And I want you to notice a number of things about it. You see, what caused them to be concerned? Well, there was something that was lacking. We said in verse 15, and if you note it there, I viewed the people. What did he find in particular when he viewed and he looked out and he assessed the people? It says he found there none of the sons of Levi. None of the sons of Levi. There were a few priests, but none of the sons of Levi. No Levites. Remember that the Levites were set apart by God to serve in the temple. They were not priests, but they were necessary for the service of God in the temple. And they were set apart by God to minister in the temple. And they had a particular work to do in not only the service of the temple, but the law of the Lord. Matthew Henry, in his commentary in this chapter, he observed, and you will note it as you read further down the chapter, and indeed as we did read chapter 7 last week, Henry pointed this out. He said, Ezra had money, more than enough for the work of God, more than enough for the service of God's house. But he had no ministers for the service of God's house. And he went on to explain and apply that truth that the Church of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we need men more than we need money. If we have no men, we have no ministry. There are things that money can buy that we can do without in the house of God, and we can do without in the work of God. But if we have no man, we have no ministry. No Levites and the service of the temple could not take place. And when there was a lack of men, a lack of Levites, a lack of ministers, what did Ezra do? Look at verse 17. It says, I sent with them commandment unto Iddo, the chief at the place Casaphiah. He sent men with understanding to Iddo under the place of Casaphiah. Commentators believe that at Casaphiah there was a school or a college for the prophets or for Levites. And the chief man or the principal of that college was this man named Iddo. And so Ezra sent men of understanding, men with wisdom, men who could express themselves and represent Ezra's views and needs. He sent these men of understanding, and they're named, and they came to this school of the Levites under Iddo. And what was the challenge that they brought, or the message that they brought? Look at the end of verse 17. Bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. Bring unto us ministers. The challenge and the call went out. Bring us ministers. Men who can serve the Lord in the sanctuary, that we might worship Him in accordance to His Word. Bring us ministers. Can I say to you that challenge and that call still needs to go out today? I think of the words, and I know they came from the Lord, directly from the Lord to Isaiah in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 in the verse 8. But as Isaiah went about his business, he saw a vision of the Lord. The call came from the Lord, whom shall I send? Say, this is a nation and a people that is full of unclean lips, and a people that have departed from me. And then the Lord, having outlined the nation's sin, He gave the call and the challenge. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? That's the challenge that the Church of Jesus Christ, God's people, the Lord Himself, will put out today. The nation is sinking in sin. The nation has departed from God. Men and women are tramping the roads, going down to hell without a care or a thought for their souls. What's needed? Ministers for the house of God who will open the book, who will preach the book, who will call men and women to repentance. And the challenge goes out, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will go for the Lord? And I pose the question, if the Lord calls you, will you go? Will you answer like Isaiah, here am I, send me. If you look at Ezra chapter 8, look at verse 18. It tells us, and by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mahlai. Mahlai was one of the sons of Aaron, one of the families of the priests, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. It mentions another one of the priestly families there in verse 19 of the sons of Merari, the family of the priests and the Levites. And if you read these verses, you discover in verse 18, there was 18 men of one Levitical family. In verse 19, there was 20 men from another Levitical family. In verse 20, there was 220 Nephinims, and they were given by the good hand of God. God with a challenge going out, who send us ministers for the house of God. God's hand was upon that message and He blessed it. And over 220 men. 258, if my maths are correct. I think this is the second week in a row I'm saying maths was not my strong point. My maths are right. If they're not, don't hold it against me. The message went out. God blessed it. 258 men came forward. God gave them ministers, servants for the sanctuary. Just turn over to Ephesians 4 for a minute. For whether it's the old or new, it's God who gives officers for His work. It's God that gives ministers. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Well-known verses 11 to 13. Speaking about Christ having descended, and then having ascended up again into heaven upon His ascension. Verse 11. And He, that is the Lord, gave some. He gave. It's God that gives. He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. My friends, it's God that gives man to serve Him. It's God that calls. It's God that gifts. It's God that sends forth. And when men are lacking, what should we do? We should call upon the Lord. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest field. The church should put out the challenge. Bring us ministers. Who will go for us? And with prayer and the biblical challenge, we believe even now and until the Lord returns, He will provide men who can minister the word, preach the gospel, and call sinners to repentance. Well, one of Ezra's concerns was there was something lacking. Lacking Levites for the service of God's house. He prayed. He sent out the challenge. Friends, that's what we're to do today. There's a need. May we pray. And may we preach that God will send forth ministers, missionaries, evangelists into His field of service. If you're back in Ezra chapter 8, you'll see that there was not only something lacking, but there was something challenging. Look at verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way. For us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Verse 21 sets forth the fact there was a challenge to find and know and walk in the right way on this journey. And there's something implied here. It is implied that there could be a wrong way. And Ezra didn't want to take the wrong way or end up in the wrong way, because there was danger in the wrong way. There was an enemy to face. You can see the enemy is mentioned in verse 22. There's an enemy. And Ezra didn't want to take the wrong way and be swallowed up or attacked or destroyed by the enemy. And the picture I have already outlined for you, the picture of this journey is the believer's journey from earth, this world, to heaven. And I want to tell you this morning, there's a right way to journey from earth to heaven. And there's a wrong way. And believers, you want to walk in the right way. You don't want to get sidetracked. You don't want to end up on the wrong path. You want to walk and live in the right way from here to heaven. Psalm 107, I refer to it in prayer. And the verse 7 speaks of Israel in the wilderness. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. We're going to a city of habitation. It's a city not made with hands, without the foundations that man's hands have laid. It's the eternal city, the eternal kingdom. We're going there. And the Lord's willing to lead us on the right way. Oh, listen, I'll preach in that text sometime on its own. The right way. Oh, it wasn't an easy way. It was a way that the Israelites murmured about and complained about. It was too hard, and there was enemies, and there was no supplies of water or food. If they'd have had their own way, they'd have gone a different way. But God led them the specific way, and though it was hard and trying and difficult, and though there were those that murmured and complained about it, it was God's way, and it was the right way. There's a right way. I want to take a few moments. I'm watching the clock, but I want to take a few moments to show you the right way to heaven. These references are in the Psalms. They all refer to the Lord's way. Just turn them up. Psalm 67, verse 2. We'll go through these quickly. Here's the right way, the journey from earth to heaven. It starts with God's salvation. Psalm 67. And verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth. The psalmist is making a plea. It's a prayer to God. His desire is that God's way would be known upon earth. Thy saving health among all nations. The Lord's way starts with salvation. And the psalmist is praying that the saving health, salvation would be known among all nations. The right way, God's way, it starts with salvation by grace through faith. Psalm 67 and verse 2. It continues with God's house or the sanctuary. Look at Psalm 77, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. The way of the Lord is seen in the sanctuary. The sanctuary is a reference to the temple or the tabernacle. when God redeemed Israel and he brought them out of Israel, Egypt, and he established them, they built the temple or the tabernacle. And it was God's purpose that that was where they publicly worshipped. And God's way was known there. And I'm saying to you, the right way to heaven is that God's people gather in God's house. He would have us to be regularly there. Those who abandon God's house, those who shun it, I tell you, it's not God's way. It's not the right way to journey to heaven. The Lord would have you gather with the saints in God's house. His way is known in the sanctuary. It so starts with salvation. It continues with attendance at the sanctuary. It involves the Holy Scriptures. Look at Psalm 86 and verse 11. There's another reference to God's way. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. That should be the plea and prayer of the believer's heart. Teach me not my own way, my own notions, my own thoughts. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Where's the Lord's way to be found? In the truth of God. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. And God's way involves a reading, a meditating, a learning of the Scriptures. That's how you know God's way. It starts with salvation. It continues in the sanctuary. It involves the Scriptures. And it includes sanctification or a holy life. Psalm 119 verse 37. Another reference to the Lord's way. Turn mine eyes. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. If you set your eyes upon iniquity and sin, you'll not be in the right way with the Lord. And the psalmist's plea is, Lord, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken me in thy way. Oh, may the Lord keep our eyes and our minds pure and turn our eyes away from sin and iniquity, that will be quickened in the ways of the Lord. Oh, there's something implied. Ezra was concerned they would get into the wrong way. And the enemy would devour them. And he wanted to be kept in the right way. So he sought the Lord and prayed about it. And I'm saying to you, in your journey from earth to heaven, you want to be in the right way. There's something not only implied, but there's something important. Look at verse 21 again. He not only wants a right way for us and for our little ones. You know, the way that the adults go will affect the little ones. And Ezra wanted to take the right path in the journey for the benefit of the little ones under their control and under their influence. They speak particularly to those with families and young families. They'll not be under our influence forever. Maybe for shorter than we even think. But those with families walk the right way so that it is an influence on the children. And even when they grow up, they'll have been brought up in the right way. And if we bring up the child in the ways of the Lord with this confidence that when they're old, it'll still be with them. It'll remain with them. You know, the enemy wants the little ones. Pharaoh wanted Moses to leave the children in Egypt. The dragon stood over the woman to be delivered of the man-child to devour him. The enemy wants the little ones. You walk in the right way so that it's an influence on them for good. There was something important. There was something implied. And there was something intentional. From verse 22, he says, I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Ezra stepped out in faith. He refused to ban the soldiers from the king. And he sought the Lord for the Lord's protection. And the seeking of the Lord was to protect him from the enemy. Brethren and sisters, there are times when the enemy will lie in wait for us. We should take our concerns to the Lord in prayer, that the angel of the Lord will encamp round about us and deliver us and keep us safe in our journey home. Something challenging, something lacking, but in closing, and I will be brief, I'll just say a sentence or two on this. There is something reassuring. Look at verse 23. So we fasted and besought our God for this. Look at that final little phrase. And he was entreated of us. God answered their prayer. They took the time. They fasted and prayed. They spread out their need before the Lord. And God was entreated. God answered their prayer. When there is something lacking, something challenging or troubling in the journey of life, God's people should set themselves a praying. For the great reassurance of the Scripture is, the Lord answers the prayers of His people. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call on me and I will answer. That's the Lord's promise, that if we call upon Him, He will answer. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the Lord answered Ezra's prayer, and we'll come to it next week, verse 31 and 32. They journeyed from Babylon to Jerusalem. They didn't lose one ounce of gold. They didn't lose one little one. They counted them all safely into Jerusalem, measured out the offering for the house of God and the Levites for the service of God's house. Lord answered their prayers. May we ever be a praying people, reassured God will be entreated for us. Let's bow our heads as we close in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for each one who has started the journey. The journey from this world to heaven. They've entered through the gate of salvation and on to the narrow way. And though around us there are many toils and snares, enemies and pitfalls, we thank You, Lord, that Thou wilt bring us the right way safely to our journey's end when we enter in through the gates of pearl into the New Jerusalem. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Bless Thy word to our hearts. Bless the ministry and service of this congregation and every other faithful work and witness for God. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon it and true revival blessing come to Thy church in this generation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.